Welcome to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. Maureen shares her personal journey of her struggles with an eating disorder and how that changed her life. Listen as Maureen shares her pain, her stories, and her triumphs. Today, as a psychoanalyst, her mission is to help as many women as possible overcome their challenges. Now, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder.
Hi, this is Maureen Kritzer-Lang, the queen of self-esteem. Welcome to my podcast, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. Today, I have a guest that I can't wait for you to hear her story and to have a conversation with her. Her name is Hera Allison, and she is an award-winning designer, photographer, and podcaster. Her podcast is called Beneath Your Beautiful. She is also the publisher of Beneath Your Beautiful magazine. Hera loves to tell stories with her art and to capture our depth and our longings, which I find I get like chills just like as I say that. And Hera and I had a conversation a little bit before we started recording, and I already feel so touched by your story, Hera. And so I thought you could start just sharing a bit about how you started your podcast and your magazine and a little bit of your story.
Well, I have been a graphic designer my whole life. And about 5 years ago, in 2019, I went to a conference and it was about dreamers. It was in Toronto. I went to be re-inspired for graphic design because I've been just doing that one thing my whole life. And at the beginning of the weekend, they were talking about dreaming and following your passion. And I remember thinking, well, I have to earn money. Like, how am I going to go do that? And by the end of the weekend, how am I going to support my dream? Anyway, I just was like, they're talking to everybody else but me is what I was feeling. And by the end of the weekend, though, I was a dreamer also. And the very next weekend, I picked up my camera again after years. In high school, I had a dark room. It was my passion, but I let it go because I believed the story I was telling myself that I was too stupid to learn lighting. Oh. And yeah, it was kind of tragic. But so I picked up my camera. I bought a camera, to be truthful. I didn't even pick it up. COVID happened right after that and was a secret little blessing because I ended up doing a 60-day self-portrait series where I learned lighting on myself. And I was a very patient model.
You did 60 days just like kind of playing with your camera with yourself?
Just myself. Yeah, I was, because it was COVID. I couldn't photograph anybody else. But it was great because now I'm actually known for my lighting, which I think is fascinating because, you know, I was so scared my whole life.
It came full circle.
It did come full circle. I love that. I love that if we, you know, stop telling ourselves the stories that it can happen. And so I was taking photos of my daughter and she had this idea to paint words on her back that described who she was, but not necessarily what she looked like, but who she knew she was, you know, fighter, strong, beautiful. She followed some people on Instagram where people were holding up signs saying, you know, like, I'm not my disease, basically. So she had that idea. And I posted that on Facebook and asked if anybody wanted to do it. And it's 30 people signed up right away. I had 30 women. And the conversations that we had, I asked the women to bring the words that they chose for themselves. And the conversations were intimate and emotional and sad because women were afraid to claim these things about themselves, even if they knew them to be true, but to splash them on their back was like, who the hell am I to do that? So, but we got there and it was a beautiful experience. Many of the women printed the photos out to hang them on their mirrors so they could remind themselves of all the things they know they are, not what society sees or believes them.
Can you share some of the words that some of the women used?
Yeah, I mean, I loved when they chose sexy and bold and undefeatable. And I can send you a link as well. There's all the pictures are online. Yeah. It was called See Me, because we want to be seen, but we want to be seen for who we really are, not our outer selves. And so it was really beautiful. Just sister, dancer, friend, whatever was, you know. But I loved when they chose the word sexy, because, you know, they are just claiming it. And one person wrote, I loved it because, you know, I don't know her this way, but she wrote kinky. And, you know, just I loved what they were willing to put.
But you took a chance of being a little bit bold.
Yeah. Oh, I loved it. I loved it. And, you know, most of the women I didn't know, or I just knew through Facebook, and they walked into my house, and then basically I was like, okay, take your shirt off. Let me paint these words on you, which took a while also. So it was intimate that way, because they were topless, not facing me, but topless. And then to be photographed topless also was emotional, because, you know, they had to see themselves, the beauty in themselves, despite the roles on their back or whatever it was that they hate about themselves. So it was a great experience. And those conversations, they were private, of course, because they were just between us, but they sparked the idea of doing a podcast, because I could see that people opened up to me. And so the podcast is about people who, how we overcome adversities in our lives and rise above them. Because it is possible, no matter what we've gone through. I mean, I've interviewed a man. He's 37 years old. He's quadriplegic, has never stepped a free step a day in his life.
Wow.
And he is somebody who has the most positive attitude. I mean, of course, he struggles. He's, you know, it's not, he's a real person with real desires, but we don't have to live in our suffering. And so that's my goal, because I certainly was a victim for most of my life of these things happened to me. And now I see that I can take responsibility for the things that happen in my life. And that has provided a real peace and freedom for me. And so that's my goal with the podcast. And then the magazine was inspired from the podcast to show it, to tell people's stories and to show it through photos and art. And so the magazine, I feel like, is all my talents, all my skills, everything I've ever trained for in one product. And so I'm really proud of the magazine.
Well, and it's beautiful. And it just, you know, it captures the people you photograph in such an amazing way. And I feel like your podcast is so inspiring to give people hope. You know, a lot of the women that I work with who have eating issues and body image issues, if they could see underneath and see the hope to get through. And it's a hard struggle. I mean, some of the people that you've interviewed have gone through such terrible, terrible tragedies. And we all have our own story in terms of how to get through our darkness and find light.
Right. And I've interviewed a couple parents who've lost their children, maybe three that I can just pop off the top of my head. Our job, I think, in life is to find meaning. I'm not saying losing your child gives you a purpose, or that it, you know, it's meant to be so that you can find purpose, but we have this one wild and precious life. And once something happens to you, now what? That is my favorite sentence, now what? So I just want to offer that no matter what anybody's gone through, there is hope and it's okay. Oh, four people I just interviewed, just the one that airs next week, somebody lost her child to suicide.
And how do you go on? Like, how do you, I mean, your life
will change
in an instant. Like, it's so unprecedented.
Her advice right away to her daughter was, we can be happy today. I mean, we can be sad in 5 minutes, but happiness is always ours to have. And you don't have to be ashamed for having happiness in your life, even when that happens. That's beautiful, beautiful advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. Can you share a little bit about how you also learned to embrace and love yourself? Because I know we were talking about that earlier, and I think it's also a beautiful story just of your own triumph.
Yeah. I mean, I have gone to an event. I remember going to an event, sitting in my car and not going because I felt fat, like not going inside. I just couldn't make myself go inside. I mean, many experiences. I've had two men break up with me saying because of my weight. I have had my first husband used to say mean things to me about my weight gain. So I believed that I was worthy based on what I looked like. And then about a decade ago, my daughter, who was about 20 at the time, was saying something negative about her body. And I realized she was mimicking me. Like, it wasn't her fault that she was saying that she believed that, but because I was teaching her that. And the only way to fix that was to stop it. I couldn't just tell her, no, you're beautiful. I had to show her that I am beautiful despite my weight. It's just
by example.
It doesn't make me any less of who I am, how much I weigh. Of course, there's a healthier weight I could be, but it's not a definition of my worthiness. And so I began to talk to myself so kindly. It was really disgusting if you could hear this the way I spoke to myself in my head. Like, for instance, I always give this example. I play tennis, and the ladies are so mean to themselves on the court. They're like, oh, you're stupid. That's such a dumb thing. And I'm like, oh, good try. Always. Of course I tried. If I was 5 years old, what would I say to that little girl on the tennis court? And I am 5 years old. One time in the magazine, as my profile photo, I used a picture of me when I was little, because that little girl is the one in charge, I feel like. She needs to know that she's loved. She needs to know her future, that she's a publisher of a magazine. I'm just very in touch with the little girl inside me.
Well, and I think a little girl, a little boy, whatever.
Of course, yeah.
Our young child is, that had dreams, saw the world in a different eyes before culture and society, and we took in all these messages. And what would our...
I was sexually abused as a little girl, or touched inappropriately. And I told my mother, and I felt like she didn't do anything about it. And that messaging that I wasn't worth doing anything about really, really took hold in my heart. And with this many years past, I now think, I don't know what she did. I don't know what she tried to do. She was a single mom with six children, and having mothered two children with just being a single mom, I totally get that whatever little Hira was going through was just a little too much to handle. And so I see young me loved, cared for. And that changes everything. And I'm the one responsible to do it. It's nobody's job but mine to love me. And the more I love me, the more I love everybody. The more I see the beauty in everybody, the more I'm less comparing and judging. And it really just took talking kindly to myself. And I started to believe me.
Well, and you know, some people feel like, oh, that doesn't matter. It doesn't work. I can say all these things to myself and it doesn't help. But it takes time to shift those negative messages that we hear.
And it wasn't necessarily affirmations. Like, I also thought that, like, I can't look at myself in the mirror and genuinely say these things that I don't believe. But I can talk kindly to myself. I can say, good job, good try. I can be supportive. I can love me like a precious little baby, like I love my children. And because I had children and I know what that love feels like, I could give it to myself as well. I mean, it wasn't nothing was false, because I was just being kind. I wasn't saying anything I didn't believe.
You were just showing yourself some compassion.
Yeah. Because Love. Because why not? Because life is short, because we have this short little time span here. And I would hate to waste it on going, well, I can't go into that event because my butt's big. My butt is big, period. And also, I'm going to go to the event. That now, that's how I feel.
Well, and I think, you know, when you talk about the beauty beneath, too, it's, you know, again, our culture and society judges so much of us on our physical appearance. And, you know, which is why my Don't Trust the Mirror website. Yeah, I just felt like it was so important because it distorts, it changes, and it really reflects how we're feeling about ourselves at that moment. And so it's not really who we are. And so really,
we are not, right. We are not our reflection. I am lovable because I was born, which I didn't know that was true. I am worthy of love just because I'm here, because I'm a person, not because anything I do or say or provide to my husband. You know, I am just lovable, period. And that was a lifelong, I took a lifelong time, I feel like, to get to, but I'm glad I'm there. And so that is the inspiration for the things I do.
Can you talk a little bit about, just a little bit more about some of the stories that you've talked about in your podcast and how they've impacted you?
Well, sure. Yeah. I have spoken to so many people with beautiful stories, and I also volunteer for an organization where I take pictures on a volunteer basis of people with terminal illnesses. So I've taken pictures of mothers at the hospital with stillborns or a father who's been diagnosed with something and, you know, take family pictures. I just, all the stories I've heard, our struggles are real. Our suffering, I mean, grief is real. Grief will happen. But there's beauty in all of the things. There's beauty in all the struggles. And there's also beauty, you know, death is part of life. Death is going to happen to every single one of us. And we pretend it's not. We really do avoid the topic. And I think if we, you know, people that live as if they're dying really live. And I want to be one of those people without a death date in mind. I don't want to waste my life. And the people I've spoken to have really helped. My podcast has really helped me learn that we can rise above anything we go through. I just interviewed a man who's been incarcerated for 18 years and has 20 years left on his sentence. And he's just got his PhD and he's doing something meaningful despite the fact that he's got 20 more years incarcerated with no hope of parole because he's in Maine. I mean, can you imagine?
No,
I can't. I can't imagine. Right. Yeah, either. But I truly appreciate that he's making a difference in his community, and we can make meaning no matter what our circumstances are.
And I think, again, it's your stories are so inspiring to give hope to so many people. And I think your talent with photography is, you know, there's so much that a photograph reveals. I remember early on when I was like early on in my recovery from my eating disorder, and I had heard, I don't even remember where, somebody that was taking nude pictures of women who had eating disorders. And it was because, you know, whatever, you know, like you took women who were topless or whatever, and to help them feel better about their bodies and look at like, whether it was curves or just like how beautiful they were. And it really helped them see themselves in a different light. So I think, you know, how you combine your podcast with your photography really just gives people such a wonderful and touching story.
Yeah. And my magazine is not just my art. It's some of my art, but also artists, photographers from all over the world, and artists from all over the world. And what that helps with it also is that, like, when you travel, you realize we're all living this life, you know, we really are in this together, and our dreams and our hopes are similar. It's really helpful to know that, oh, when we did that, you and I were at this retreat recently.
Yeah, that's how we met.
Right. The conference. And it was so fascinating when somebody read all of their fears and they had everybody stand up in the room if you had similar fears, and almost everybody had stood up. That wasn't such a beautiful experience, because it's good to know that we're all kind of worrying about the same things and have dreams, and we're all just people trying to get to the next day and live the best existence we can. I really like that. I like seeing the humanity in all of us.
You know, we're not alone. Can you talk a little bit? We were talking earlier, and I said to you at the conference, was the first time I'd ever heard this particular woman, Byron Katie. And mm-hmm. and just a little bit on how she changed your life, and because I think also it's an important message.
So I went to a Byron Katie conference not knowing what I was signing up for. And you fill out a judge your neighbor worksheet. And I had to really think about, you had to think of something that you were mad at, somebody you were mad at, and something that, well, I had remembered that, and I had gone to counseling over this one incident where my first husband was in the lake and I walked down the dock and I felt like he was looking at me disgustingly in my bathing suit. And then I jumped in the water and I swam to him and he pushed me away. That was my memory, that I went to counseling over that. Like, and I was 100 pounds less than I am now. So, I mean, it was like traumatic. And so that's the thing I wrote down. I couldn't even think of something. It had happened 20 years earlier. I couldn't think of anything I was mad at. But by the end of the day, working through that sheet and seeing how she helped others, I was like, did that really happen? Maybe the sun was in his eyes. How am I to know what he was thinking when he looked at me? Also, I came to, I don't know what he was thinking. And he was just a guy. I had put him on a certain level because he was my husband. Like, he should do these things. Like, I insisted, but she helped you understand that, well, that's not the person. That's what you're expecting of the person. Anyway, by the end of the day, after 20 years of divorce, I was no longer mad at him. I was free of those thoughts. I sent him a message. I didn't talk about that at all. I just felt so light. I apologized for everything I had done wrong in our past. And my daughter said that they were horrified that I did that. But they said, since I've sent that, you know, he only has good fond memories of me. He only talks about nice things instead of the bad things. He used to always say bad things about me. So it was it freed me. And so now I understand that you can't know what somebody else is thinking. Because I barely know what I'm thinking half the time. I mean, it changes. You could ask me something 10 minutes from now and I might have a different answer.
Right. And it's about the narrative that we tell ourselves.
Yeah. So seriously. So she says that your thoughts are the cause of all your suffering. And, the first day I didn't really get it. And now 5 years later, she is the one I listen to the most. And I really understand that whatever I'm feeling, it's up to me. She, this was part of my journey of helping me take responsibility for my thoughts.
Well, and it also it taught you to challenge your thoughts, really.
Well, then you write all the meanest things you can think about them, and then you have to turn it around. And it's usually true about yourself. And that's the worst thing about doing one of those worksheets.
Because whatever you project on, onto the other person.
Whatever you're judging. I mean, that's what I came to, that I was nervous about my weight. I mean, I was not loving me because whatever weight I was. I mean, it might have been true about him, but it was definitely true about me. And how can I expect him to love me better than I loved me? It's my responsibility to love me. That was really life-changing, that conference. And, you know, then COVID hit and that's not even a thing anymore. But she is online and she has a podcast. And it's fascinating every time I listen to her. She'll walk somebody through the worksheet and you're always at the beginning thinking, this person's never going to get there because they're so mad at that other person that they've written down. But they always get there. They always get there.
Well, you had quite an amazing journey yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned to love me because why not? And loving me is really helpful because it makes me love everybody else. Loving me is the kindest thing I can do for my children, for my husband. You know, the difference I feel just sitting straight up or like cowering because I'm, you know, it just is a whole difference. So loving me is doing a service to the whole world.
Well, and it helps you shine your light.
Right, right.
On everybody. And,
right. And so that's why I hope it for everybody, because we all need that. Wouldn't it be so great if all the women you knew loved themselves?
Yes, well, and that's the message that you and I share that we're trying to get out there, which was why I met you and I wanted to have you on my podcast and feel like, yeah, you're very inspiring. And literally, as I talk to you, I literally feel in my body, like I get like chills sort of just listening to you. And I feel like emotional.
Well, thank you. Well, good. I've done my job here.
You got it. And I know you will touch so many of my listeners as well. And I'm happy to help you get out this message beneath your beautiful magazine and your podcast. Thank you so much, Hera, for coming. We put this together pretty quickly, so I'm very proud of ourselves, of us, to be able to do that. And you're all the way.
Thank you so much for asking.
Yeah, in the West Coast. So you're in Portland, right?
I live in Idaho.
Oh, in Idaho.
I'm from Miami, Florida, and I ended up in Idaho.
Wow. Why did I think Portland? I guess because you said you went to a workshop in Portland.
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
So maybe that is stuck in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. So so we really managed to like get this together. So I'm very happy.
Yeah, I love that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder. Please share this with family, friends, on whatever podcast platform you listen to. And remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.
Thank you for listening to Don't Trust the Mirror, My Secret Life with an Eating Disorder, with psychoanalyst Maureen Kritzer Lang, the queen of self-esteem. We hope you enjoyed it. Please visit don'ttrustthemirror.com, where you'll find all our social networking links and can post your stories, comments, and questions. Until next time, remember, trust yourself. Don't trust the mirror.